Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, that a nation still stands for you. It was a God's providence that this nation even exists in its current form. Because, Lord, it beat every odd. It beat all the odds. It won a war that it had no business winning, Lord. It survived the harshness of a new nation trying to survive as a solo act. But, Lord, your hand on a nation, every person will prevail no matter what comes against them. And so, Lord, we thank you for the nation we have. We thank you that it was a great day of honoring, a milestone of 250 years of freedom. Many, many people and nations have never experienced anything close to that. And so, Father, first of all, thank you for the honor and privilege of being born and raised here in America. And I thank you for this nation and the opportunities it's allowed me to have in a free nation. And so, Lord, while we're not perfect, but Lord, we got things to do to continue to make it to where we will continue to be that great nation that honors God. And so, Lord, we look to this word today to come alive and leap off the pages, get us in us, stir us up, and then stir us to something. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, I said something there, stir us up, but also when you get stirred up, you got to be stirred into something. Okay? It's one thing to get stirred up within yourself, but if it stays inside you, it blesses no one else. And your life is here, not for you. Your life, my life, we are here to serve. I know that's not a concept we like to think of too often anymore, but your life was not given for you just to live it in and of and to and through yourself. You are here to make a difference in someone else's life, hopefully a kingdom difference, amen? But this morning, I want to go straight into the scriptures this morning. We're talking about warring for a nation, part two today. And then next week will be part three, and then we're going to be moving into something you don't want to miss on that Sunday either. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 11 says this, a final word. Now watch this. Be what? Does it say be weak? Does it say be puny? Does it say be on the backside of something here? No, it says what? Be strong, but be strong in what? Man, I could stop right there and preach five-part sermon right there on that. Be strong in the Lord. Don't be weak. Don't be medium. Don't be low. Don't be zero. Be strong in the Lord. That's the Bible, amen? Now watch this. And also in his mighty power. Not in my power, but in the Lord's power. Can I have an amen there? Then it goes on and it says this, you're familiar with this, put on all of God's armor so you will be able to stand against all the what? Strategy. Everybody say strategy. Now the King James and New King James versions say the schemes. A scheme is a strategy, a strategy is a scheme. A strategy means there's a plan. And it's not just in theory, there's a plan being enacted. So in other words, right now, the devil has a strategy against you. If you're married, he's got a strategy against your marriage. If you have kids, he has a strategy, a plan that he's got in place for your kids. He has a strategy for your job. And he has a strategy for your church. He has a strategy against this community we're in. And again, a strategy is not something just on paper. It is something that is being enacted on purpose. Or it's not a strategy, it's a vision. A vision starts first, then you start laying down the steps of it, and it becomes what we call a strategy or a scheme. And when we got, certainly never said, you better know this. But we're able to stand against all the strategies, not some of them, all the strategies, all the plans of the enemy, the devil. Verse 12, For we are not fighting against flesh and blood. Can I have a better amen there? We're not fighting against the flesh and blood enemy, but against the rulers and the authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in dark world, against the evil spirits in the heavenly places. So in other words, our battle is not against each other. Our battle, our war is a spiritual battle. We are fighting against demons and demonic forces, satanic powers. Amen? I don't believe in that. I don't care. You go ahead and keep not believing in it, see where you get. Don't complain if you don't believe in it. Now, one of the greatest strategies of Satan is just what I just said. I don't believe in that. His greatest accomplishment for your life is to convince you he's not even real. Well, I really don't believe there's a devil out here trying to destroy me, and I don't believe in demons out here and fallen angels. I just don't believe. That's his greatest strategy that's working for him in your life right now, if you don't believe. Okay? He's done a masterful job of doing that to your life if you have that mindset that he's not real and, you know, everybody's going to go somewhere, but we're not going to go to hell's not real. Oh, that's a great strategy from the devil. Of course it is. And just like the devil, how many know the devil's people learn from him? If you could have a military strategy against your enemy, it would be to convince your enemy that they don't have nothing to worry about from you. We're your partners. We're at peace with you. We're never going to attack. We are trying to make a peace treaty right now with a nation from its inception of America has sought only to do one thing with America, destroy it. Death to America. Death to Israel, death to America. Death to the big Satan, death to the little Satan. They consider us big Satan, Israel little Satan. And they have lived their whole life, generation to generation, since America's been born, to destroy America. Okay? If you don't believe that, you need to get your head out your sandbox. Amen. I kept that okay. Okay? Get your head out your sandbox. Okay? And we think that we're going to be able to go to a table, sign a piece of paper, and go, we trust you. Yeah, right. Old saying is, I don't trust you further than I can throw you. Amen. And I might could toss a couple of them a pretty good ways if I'm mad. Okay, because they don't weigh a whole lot. But anyway. But again, if the enemy can convince you today that you're not at war with him, then you will relax. Yes. Come on. When people don't know there's a battle and there's a war going on, we have a tendency just to kind of sit back and let life go through. Can I have a better amen on that? Amen. Oh, we're not at war. We're not at war. And do you know what? That's exactly how what we call September 11th, 9/11 happened. Amen. We were just sitting back living the dream, baby. Nobody's ever going to do nothing over here on our property. But the whole time, generations have been raised up to do what they did on September 11th. They've been patient, and they will wait generations to have attacks. Okay, see, we think, for the moment, they think generational. Okay, and that's exactly how many of y'all were shocked at when 9/11 got up that morning and you seen the plane? Raise your hand, because you were. Nobody saw it coming except for a few prophetic voices. Nobody saw it. I was sitting there that morning going, oh, you got to be kidding me. Honey, get my gun. Amen. Come on. We were shocked. But see, what we did, why we were shocked is because we didn't think had an enemy that we could be at war with. But the whole time, the enemy was planning a war with us. And it cost thousands of lives that day. How many thousands of lives, day by day, die without Jesus because they didn't know there was a war for heaven and hell for your soul? You better wake up. And understand, you're at war. You're at war for your marriage. You're at war for your family. You're at war for your kids. You're at war for your country.
Amen.
Amen. It's real, folks. But when we don't understand there's a battle, then we don't prepare for battle. Come on. We don't prepare for it. Much less, we don't train for any kind of warfare. We don't arm ourselves. And I don't mind saying arm ourselves. We have the right to do that. Thank you, Jesus. And our Constitution. We have a right to be armed. And when we don't know we're at war, we're not kind of standing guard and watching for something to happen where we can counter-react it. We're just sitting back letting things happen. And going, well, it's okay. Well, it's not that bad. Well, it's okay. Then all of a sudden, and the biggest mentality is, as long as it don't come to my doorstep. Yeah. The problem is, by the time it gets to your doorstep, it's too late for you. Yeah. And it's not so much it's too late for me and you, it's too late now for our kids and our grandkids. Yeah. When it don't have to be this way, if we just understand the times that we're living in. When you don't know you're at war, listen to me now, you're defeated before the first shot's ever fired. That's why they were able to get in and do as much damage as they did in the course of just a few hours, and we had nothing to stop it hardly. Because we wasn't prepared. We wasn't ready. We wasn't watching. And I know there's many conspiracy theories around it. Maybe we did have a hint of it. But for the general America, we had no idea that was coming. Come on. How many know the enemy has not stopped fighting one single day? And I'll put it in our times. Al-Qaeda has not quit preparing to destroy America. The Taliban has not quit preparing to invade and destroy America. ISIS has not quit scheming and devising another plan bigger than that one. Come on. The Communist Party still wants to take over America. And they're getting the biggest gain right now. As a matter of fact, New York, congratulations. The site of a radical Islamic terrorist attack, you just voted in an Islamic mayor. Oh, this is going to probably get banned off of the media. I don't care. The problem is, go ahead and put up problem. First note, many believers have stopped recognizing we're in a war, a spiritual battle. And because of that, we're not praying like we should. We're not studying like we should. We're not prepared in the spirit realm, much less in the physical realm, really. And we live here in America. I'm ready. I got a gun. Your gun is locked up in the safe. I carry one in the truck. But you in the mall. Hold on. Let me run to the truck. Then I'll be ready. I ain't got time to get into that. Or I'll spend all day on it. And I'll hear it from my wife. Go and put up the next note. This is kind of where we're at right now. The Christian church in America, go ahead with the next note. Not that one. Maybe I didn't put the next one in there for you. The church has become comfortable. Turn to your neighbor and say, the church has become comfortable. And that is not their fault. I did not put that one in there. We've become a comfortable church again. Now, let me say it like this. We've become a comfortable if we want to go to church and be a church again. The church in and of itself that attends and is faithful and is serving and is a steward of the kingdom of God, we're not comfortable. We don't have time to get comfortable. But for a lot of people, church is just an option. And when something's an option, that means you've got the comfort of it. Let me show you this. And I mean, America has enjoyed enormous freedoms, enormous blessings. And we've built industry, we've built the most immaculate theaters and of anything around the world. We've got the immaculate top of it. We've even built beautiful churches in America. And then listen to me now, there's nothing wrong with any of those. Come on, nothing wrong with having those things. But when we get comfortable, we get complacent. And we can put our faith in our buildings and our might and our money and our military, and we, the church, get comfortable, and Satan will come in, and before you know it, it's done wiped it out because we were asleep at the wheel because we got comfortable. How many know that? Everybody say the early church. See, the early church didn't sit around and going, I wonder one day if we'll have opposition. The early church started being opposed, being killed for their faith, being martyred because of their stance in Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, the 12 main founders, the 12 apostles, all died. Only one of them died exiled on an island. The rest of them were either speared to death, boiled in a pot. They were crucified upside down. One of them was filleted, skinned alive, basically, for the faith of Jesus Christ. They expected opposition. They were spiritually prepared in the spiritual realm to face opposition and lay their life down. We, if it's raining, we don't know if we're going to church. If I called you today, if I sent out a text last night and said, hey, our air conditioning is shut down, just want to make y'all sure of it, I guarantee we'd probably have at least over half people wouldn't be here right now. Well, it's not going to be comfortable. I can stay at home and watch it with my air conditioning. See, we've got a comfortable religion, and religion will send you to hell as fast as anything. Let me prove it to you. Now, you're going to hear this message in about 3 or 4 weeks. This scripture come up again, so just be aware of it. But I'm going to touch on it today from this perspective. Everybody say, we're comfortable. Because look at Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. The Bible says, and let us consider one another. That means we're consider each other. In order to what again? Stir up love and what? Good works. Not bad works, but good works. Now watch this. Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Leave that up there for a moment. Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It's one of my favorite verses to preach in the Bible. What does that mean, the assembling of ourselves together? That word assembly is the word ecclesia, which we get the word church. The organization that God created on earth to be his vessel, his bride, the church. Man did not create church. God created. He says, I'm coming back for my church, not my home group, not my family time study. That should be an addition to the church. Should be going on. That's why we have life groups here. That's why we encourage you to be at home, what we did a few weeks ago on Father's Day, as we had the fathers pronounce the priestly blessing over the family. Should be in the home, should be in small groups, but the ecclesia, the organized living organism of the body of Christ, the church, is God's idea, and it's his will for the earth. Is there a lot wrong with the church? Yes, because people are involved in it. But you don't throw it out. You can't throw it out. You can try and you can have all the excuses in the world, but you cannot get rid of God's church. It's his idea and where his blessings are too. As a matter of fact, let me read to you the Living Bible translation of Hebrews 10, 25, the last verse. It says this. Go ahead and put it up. Let us not neglect our church meetings as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of his coming back again is drawing near. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's in the Bible. But see, when you're comfortable, you look at that as a suggestion instead of a command. And when you're comfortable, you can point out all the reasons you don't go to church. And they're good reasons. She, him, they said this. Well, they live this lifestyle, da-da-da-da-da. Shane, come up here. Yeah, you, come on. And Stuart, come on up. Come on, hurry, hurry. Let's go. Hup two, hup two. Hup two, three, four. Hey. Hey, look here. Just like Peter, he got out of the boat and sank a little bit, but at least he got out the boat. That's a brave man to try that. Come right here. Okay, now don't let this go to your head. God. Hypocrite. Hypocritical churchgoer. Or church basher. All right, stand in front of him. God at the church. He represents God in the church. He goes to church, but he ain't got it all together. I come to the same church. I think I got it all together. So I'm in the church and I'm looking at him and I think he might have said something about me and he's looking to God, but he thinks he's looking to God, but I know how he really lives and I'm just so tired of them and I can't stand him and he's done this to me and he's done this to me. So I'm not going to be a part of that church. I'm going to go to my house. and I'm going to get my Bible out, and I'm going to be so close to God, and I'm going to know the scriptures until I get to this scripture. I'm just not going to read Hebrews 10:25. And I'm not going to read about tithing to the church because I'm not doing that anymore either. But I'm over here living my best holy life in my eyes. And I'm worried about him and complaining about him and the church and God. But I'm over here, but I know scriptures, brother. You should. But you should know them all. Do you know Hebrews 10:25? Now, I'm over here still fuming, and every chance I get online and I bash him and that church. But look at this. Who's closer to God? Oh, who stands more in the presence of God? He's not perfect. This is the only thing perfect, is God. His church ain't perfect. Why? Because me and Stuart's there. As long as me and Stuart's here, it ain't going to be perfect. I can promise you that. But do you see what I mean? You're on the outside calling that bad, but that's actually closer to the presence of God often than you are. That is a more biblical representation of where imperfect people should be. But no, you got to be over here and think you're the judge. Give those guys a hand. Look, and I know it's going to stir you up. Send all the emails my way you want to, because I'm not going to pay you any attention anyway. See, we have Christian radio. Yeah. We have Christian TV. We have Christian schools. We have Christian books. We got Christian Audible. We can go to Christian conferences still and concerts. Come on. We got Christian podcasts, and we can watch TikTok. We don't need the church. We can go and be a part of all these things. Now put the next note up. It's actually in the list I gave you. Thank you. The enemy doesn't always attack by persecution. Sometimes he attacks through distractions. He attacks through distractions. And it can be anything. It can be your butt hurt at the church or whatever it is you got mad about. It's okay, baby. They understand it. It could be you're mad at your mom and dad. It could be you're mad at somebody. It could be you're mad at the pastor. It could be you're mad at your boss. I don't know. But while you're sitting over here fuming about all this stuff and pointing out everybody else's stuff, you're losing your battles. And the body of Christ is not stronger at this point. We're weaker because everybody's got to be at odds against something. We live in that era now. It doesn't matter what you do now, social media, somebody's going to complain about it. Jesus Christ is Lord. They're going to complain about it. And it'll be other Christians. That's what blows my mind. He gets us distracted through many different things. And the church can get so busy with everyday life that, again, we begin to neglect our prayer life, the scriptures. We begin to ignore all the counsel of the Word of God. And the church begins to suffer. And let me tell you something. When the church begins to suffer, the nation begins to suffer. So as the church goes, so goes as a nation. You watch it every time. As a matter of fact, let me point something new out to you. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. These are the words of Jesus Christ describing this time. And he says, I know your works. When he says he knows, trust me, this is Jesus. He knows. He knows your works. And he says that you are neither cold nor hot. Now, we're going to leave this verse up here for a minute. That you're neither cold or hot. He says, I could wish you were cold or hot. You can't play that middle ground. What happens, ladies and gentlemen, if you are extremely cold? What do? You go find something to put on, or you jack up some heat, or you start a fire. You find some place to try to get warm, don't you? So if I'm extremely cold, I'm going to have some actions to get me out of that mindset. Now, this is real easy to preach now in Alabama. What happens when you get extremely hot outside, or you're outside and you don't, what are you trying to do? Cool off some way. Find some shade. Pray for a wind. Lord, let a breeze blow something, Jesus. It's 110 degrees here, Lord. Okay? And if you have a problem with that, you best not go to hell. Okay? That is a preheat for hell. Okay? Amen? But if we're extremely hot, and I thank God we have the technology, we can go get in a vehicle and turn it on, turn the air on. Most of us can go home and turn an air conditioning knob and boosh, it's awesome. We can even come to church and be comfortable. Amen? But he says, you're not acting like you're cold because you're not trying to get warm, and you warm people are not acting like you're really hot for me because you ain't acting like you got to cool off. He said, you're right in the middle. You're trying to play this game on both ends. And God says, I'm not going to play that game. So he said, I wish you would either go ahead and be cold or be hot, because if you're cold, you're going to have an action. If you're hot, you're going to have an action. We never think of it that way, though. If you're one of those extremes, it leads to some action. Now go ahead and put up the next verse. Again, Jesus' words. He says, so then, because you are, say it with me, lukewarm, and you're neither hot nor you're cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth, says the Lord. Now leave that up there. I'm not really hot enough to try to do anything, because I think I'm lukewarm. Lukewarm means I'm not real hot and I'm not cold. So in that atmosphere, what do? We sit down on the back porch and we are very comfortable. Lukewarm is comfort. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. It's just about right where you ain't got a fan and you ain't got to go get a blanket. Therefore, you don't have to get up. And that's the goal of Satan. Sit back and let yourself, your marriage, your family, your kids, your community, your state, and your nation go to hell while you are comfortable. Now, let me just tell you another thing about this word lukewarm. It is a word. It has a meaning, but there is no position of it. Everybody says, well, I'm just kind of in that mode right now. I'm just kind of in that loop. You can't be lukewarm, because he says you're not. It's the devil's deception that you can kind of ride that. I'm an okay Christian. I'm kind of bought in on this, but not all of it. And I did that, and I don't want to. You ain't one at all. You're either godly or ungodly. You're either walking with Christ in the fullness of it or learning in it. Now, when I say, I'm not talking about you've met perfection in it. I'm still learning. But I'm learning. And I'm trying. And I'm going after it. Or you're not. There is no lukewarm Christianity. But the devil will convince you of that. Because if he can convince you to be comfortable as a Christian, you don't know you're at war, and he's warring against you. His strategies are already in play to take you, your family, your kids, your marriage, your country, everything out from you. And he'll do it if you sit there. He'd be glad to walk in and do it. And again, here's one of the next biggest things we do. We mistake the enemy. See, when you don't know you're in a battle, you don't even know who the enemy is. So you'll just take the first thing that pops up, which is usually somebody else. Come on now. And I ain't got time to turn there. But in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and demonic spirits in heavenly places. But notice what Paul did. Paul didn't say, we do wrestle against flesh and blood. He didn't say that. He said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. In other words, we're not supposed to be at each other's throats. Especially if we all claim to be children of God. So which God are you a child of? But yet children of God, when you don't know you're in a battle, you will battle other children of God. And you'll talk bad about the churches and this and that and pastors. And always got a finger pointing out somebody else's stuff. Some Bible says something about you got a log in your eye. Amen. We spend more time and energy fighting other people instead of confronting the spiritual battle that we're in for ourselves, our families, and our nation. Now listen to me real closely. I'm going to go ahead and go here. Politics matters some. It does matter. It matters who's leading. Come on. But again, listen to me real close. You're not going to elect a pastor. How many of you are children of God in here? Raise your hand. Do you go to your place of employment and preach 8 hours a day? What do you go and do there? What they pay you to do. What makes us think we're going to elect somebody and they're supposed to go up there and lead the world to revival? We're paying them supposedly to guard this nation and go by the Constitution. That's their job. Now, yes, we want a godly person in there.
Yes.
Amen. But you got to do the best you can. But not voting is not the answer.
Amen.
I mean, gosh, get a brain and try to use it every once in a while. Politics does matter some. Elections matter some. Our laws and our Constitution matter. But I got good news for you. Go ahead and put up this next note. I'm going to get maybe a little happy on this one. Go to the next one. No election of a person or a party has ever defeated Satan. Only Christ has. JFK didn't defeat him. Kennedy didn't defeat Satan. Reagan didn't defeat Satan. Carter didn't. Clinton sure didn't. Obama didn't. Trump hasn't defeated Satan. Christ has defeated Satan. He's the only one. So quit looking to government to do what only God has done. Start looking to the church to do the things you want your government to do. Start either running for office or going in there and doing the very best you can when you pull that lever to vote for somebody. Amen? Because let me tell you another lie. Let me expose a lie to you that Satan has American church believing right now. You better not say nothing outside these walls. You better not get out in public and live your faith. We will shame you, boycott you, call you all kinds of vile things, label you, cancel you if we can, shut you down if we can. Don't you come against us with your... Because you are a bunch of hateful people if you say anything. Now, right now, as long as we don't say it outside these walls, but they're coming for inside these walls. Make no mistake about it, they're coming for what I'm preaching right now to where it's shut down. And don't be in such a lull that you don't think it's going to happen here in America. Go ahead and put up the next note. Let me assure you of this. Christians can oppose evil while still loving people. When I come out and I speak against homosexuality or any sex outside of marriage, it's not that I hate people that are fornicating or adulterers or homosexuals. No, we don't hate them. But we love the Word of God to set you free. I can oppose people while still loving their spirit, the Spirit of God that can be in them. We don't hate, we love, but we love truth over delusion. I spoke at a marriage thing back when it was being challenged. And I went over to the protesters that were coming, the homosexual, the LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ group. I'm just going to go ahead and start throwing them all in because they keep adding to them anyway. And I went over there and talked with them afterwards. And again, so I've shared this already sometime, but most of them wasn't even in that lifestyle themselves. They were just thought the church was all hateful and there to defend the people who were being oppressed. And I said, no, y'all are welcome. And they're like, really? I said, you're welcome. You wouldn't let us come to your church. I said, you can absolutely walk through them doors. I'd love to have you. Really? I said, yes. I said, but now if you come in here and start trying to make out with your partner, I'm not going to allow that. I said, but I'm going to tell you what else I'm not going to put up with in my church. If two married people, man and woman, come in here and start trying to make out, I'm going to shut that down too. Well, why would you do that? Because we're not here for that. I'm here to preach to you the truth and the love of Jesus Christ. And now you got to choose whether you accept it or deny it. This ain't a coming. This ain't for that. Amen? And they were just like, we never heard that. Of course you haven't. They don't want you to hear that. Because if you think that we really do love you and we're telling you the truth, you might listen to us instead of them. So there has to be that divided wall of hate. Okay? I told them, I said, listen, I said, if you were my neighbor and I pull in coming home from work one day and I see your house on fire, I promise you I'll run into that burning house at the value of my own life to try to get you out. I said, because you're still valuable to God. But the Christians have done a bad job of that. We get one little notch of somebody, we think we're better than them because we don't do that or participated in it, and that becomes our soapbox. The whole counsel of God is our love box. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. See, the Bible says this: if it is possible, as much as depends on you, not them, not them, not their actions, not their ways, but it depends on you, it says this: live peaceably with all of them. As much as possible. Now, I will say this because I got to speak truth. Sometimes it's not possible because they are so determined that we are going to affirm what they do and go along with it and have to call them by their pronouns. And I can't do that. I'm not allowed to do that because of the Word of God. It's not that I'm trying to insult. I got to be biblical. I can't fall into your delusion. Just because you're in a delusion doesn't mean I got to walk in it. They don't profess Jesus Christ as Lord. That hurts my feelings. But yet you don't see me out there going, you're going to profess him, or I'm going to cancel you, shut you down, protest you, and march. No, I'm going to present to you Jesus as Lord. Now you got a choice. I can't make it for you. You got to make it on your own. But here's the thing. You got to live with the consequences. We all do. Don't you know the enemy rejoices? Oh, he's dancing and rejoicing around the flames when the Christians are so busy fighting each other. Yeah, yeah, here, yeah, yeah, this, yeah, yeah, that, and pointing there. And his plans and strategies are just weaving into our nation because the church is so busy with the wrong thing. Too comfortable. Let me just, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Everybody say Satan. Who, this is the Bible. Satan, who is the little g god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. This is where we get the word reprobate mind. It means you've believed the delusion so long that even God can't reach you. You've given yourself over to the doctrine of demons, and God will let you do that if that's your choice. He's a free God. It says, they are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand the message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. And we look perplexed when lost people act lost. Oh, I can't believe that. I'm perplexed when people who say they're Christian don't live a life. That's more confusing to me. I understand why a lost person sins and continues in it and will flaunt it and they're proud of it. I totally understand that. What I don't understand is a church that can't take a stand, won't preach the whole word of God, and Christians who will sit back and let any and everything go on around them, and often they will take part of it. That's what blows my mind. I don't know how you think, but that's, I'm weird, but I think you're weird. I think the church is weird when we don't act like the Bible tells us to act. Now, again, I have not perfected any of it. I'm vulnerable to slip up too, but when I do, there's a conviction of the thing called the Holy Ghost within inside me that says, no, you shouldn't do that way. And then I go to the Bible and I get me a word and I get to praying over it and I get to renouncing it and I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I repent from it and I try not to ever do it again. It's not about being perfect, but it is about continuing to grow in the grace and the love and the mercy and the power of God. Be strong in the Lord. You will not be strong in the Lord outside the fellowship of his body. You will not be strong outside the fellowship of his word, out of his Holy Ghost, out of the presence of praise and worship. You're not strong by yourself. We're better together. Amen. So I want to close with this right here today. Go ahead and put up the last note. How many think America's in trouble? I think we're, now there's some areas where we're okay still. Thank you, Jesus. But a lot of areas, we're in trouble. Because there are places that are so deceived, they've already given themselves over to foreign nations and governments and rules. Sharia law is coming. The caliphate is real. They haven't stopped. If you don't know what caliphate is, go look up the word. And by the way, there is a Muslim word in the Torah, in the Quran, and I can't pronounce it correctly, okay? but I know it starts with a T. And the definition of it means a Muslim can lie and fake whatever they need to do for a season as long as the end results will be that Islam takes over. We believe in Jesus just like you Christians do. That's a lie. They don't. It's an absolute lie, but they'll tell you that just to deceive you, to get you on board, to say we can coexist. My Bible says sweetness can't coexist with bitterness. Light can't coexist with darkness. Now, can I be around them? Yes, I can be around them and be a witness to them and talk to them and love them with the truth. But I will not coexist with believing like they believe. And neither can you if you're going to carry the title of son or daughter of God. So here's the thing. If America's in trouble, who's going to fix it? Now, we know the answer. You've been trained in here. But you know what most people answer? Well, hopefully, you know, Trump or the next one will do a little bit more about it. Hopefully, government can't fix this. And it's not even the role of the government to fix it. It's the role of the church. How many think it's the church's responsibility to fix America? Come on, raise your hand up. Most of us in here thinks it's the role of the local churches to establish what goes on in the community according to the Word of God. Hallelujah, you're right. If America's in trouble, it's the church's responsibility. Who is the church? Everybody that raised your hand said it's the church's responsibility to raise your hand because you're the church. So the question doesn't become, what's government going to do about it? What's the church going to do about it? The question today comes to, what are you doing about it? Are you going and voting every chance you get to help? Are you serving? Are you running for office? Some people's asked me, said, why don't you run for office? I said, because I'm in the highest office in the land right now. It'd be a demotion. I wouldn't be promoted. It wouldn't be a promotion. It would be a several rungs down the ladder. And by the way, that's not because I'm a pastor. It's because I'm a child of God. Plus, I'd be assassinated real quick. There's been a couple of times I thought it was going to happen here. Actually, there was a time when I had I've had a couple of death threats, but I had one very local in the community. Matter of fact, when I was mentioned to this person they were dealing with, this person said, and if I'm going to kill somebody, he's the first one on my list. Don't live too far from here. Had actually attended here several times. Oh boy. And the cop come by to tell me this. And I said, why didn't you arrest him? Huh? But the armor of God. And we don't, let me just go ahead and get to that. So if it's your responsibility, my responsibility, our responsibility, the next question, do you and I even understand we're already at war? If our nation and our marriages and our schools and our all the seven mountains of influences are going to come back under God and it's our responsibility, do we understand we're fighting a spiritual battle over it? Because if we don't, we'll just sit back and get comfortable. And let Satan's strategy, who's already at work, his plans are working. The church is like, we just got a plan to get together on Sunday and that's it. And it's working. We're just a Sunday. Well. So what are you saying? I'm saying God is calling his army to wake up and get engaged in the battles. Amen. God isn't looking for angry people. Come on now. God's not looking for an angry yeller, screamer, everybody's problems. He's looking for surrendered people. Surrender to the Word of God. God's not looking for louder Christians. He's looking for those that will walk in holiness. 24/7, 7 days a week. At the job, in town, not just church. How many know louder doesn't mean holier? My voice has always been loud. And here's what he's not looking for either. He's not looking for a fearful church. The church just says, I can do the Jesus stuff on Sunday inside the church walls, but don't expect me to live it outside or at home. He's looking for faithful Christians to the whole Word of God everywhere they go. Again, you don't go around with a 10-pound Scofield Bible beating people in the head. But you walk out an authentic, encouraging lifestyle in front of them. If they ask you for an opinion, you give them the Word of God. You don't give them your opinion. See, you're an ambassador. Ambassadors do not give their opinion. They say what the king says. Our ambassadors only say what the president represents. They don't go in there, well, now the president says this, but I think we ought to be doing this. No, you're gone as an ambassador if you do that. That's called treason. You go in there, the president tells you to say this, that's what you say, and that's the deal you try to make. You don't go into your own deals because you're not there representing you. You're there representing who you serve. And that's what God is looking for. And the last one, God is not looking for spectators. He's looking for soldiers participating in the war that's going on for our nation right now. Stand to your feet this morning. The greatest weapon in the kingdom of God that has ever been on planet Earth is not political power. It is not our military power, although we've got a great one of those in the name of Jesus. Thank you for every man, woman, and boy, the girl that's ever served our nation. Come on, amen. Thank them. You may say, Pastor, you messed up. You said boy and girl. You need to read history. There's 13-year-olds that signed up to fight years ago. 13-year-old young men and women signed up to serve and served for a while. Some of them did until they got caught. Then they made them go back to Lisa as 16. It's not the greatest thing we've got. The greatest thing on planet Earth that the kingdom of God has available on the planet Earth is a praying, devil-stomping, hell-busting wide open, faith-believing, Holy Ghost-filled, tongue-talking, heaven-invading to earth Christian church. It's the body of Christ that's the strongest weapon kingdom has here on earth, filled with the Spirit of God that says, not my time and not my generation. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we will have no king but King Jesus. Bow your heads. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ, I wouldn't get out of here today without doing it. I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm not asking you to become some religion. I'm asking you, do you know that you would die and go to heaven tonight? Or if you died without Jesus Christ, that you'd be burning in hell? Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. That's not rough. That's love. And if you don't know today, you can know before you leave here today whose side you're on and whose side died for you. And if that's you today, with no strings attached, not joining church, not becoming religious, just surrendering your life today to the call of God to be that son and daughter of God, just lift your hand up right here where you're at, anyone in our congregation today. All right, how many would say today to me, I got to step my game up. Our nation's worth it. My marriage is worth it. My children are worth it. My grandchildren are worth it. My great-grandchildren are worth it. My great-great-great-grandchildren are worth it. I haven't seen them yet, but if the Lord don't come, they'll probably be here one day, and I want to leave them something that they can build on, not something they have to rebuild. So if that's you today, lift your hand up and say, man, I want to get in the battle. I've got to get in the fight in my personal life. I've got to bring the battle to my home life. I've got to bring the battle to my everyday life, what I'm involved in. I'm bringing it to my church. The church is going to arise because it is the blessed hope of this world through Jesus Christ. It's what He's coming back for. So, Father, right now, I thank You for every heart and mind and decision made in this place today. And I pray, God, You release a strategy to the church where it goes from vision to paper. We've got steps. It's been ordained by God. We have things we need to do in the power and might that can only be done if we're praying, if we're serving, if we're looking to Jesus, if we're in our Word and we understand the strategy of the Bible. We'll understand how to fight the enemy and not just fight. We've already won the war before the battles are ever fought. If you know the Word, you're a winner already. We've won the war before the battle ever began. But we do have to fight the battles in our seasons. And so, Lord, help us affect every area that we walk into this week. Gird us up with the belt of truth and all the armors on the front side. Nothing covers the backside of a Christian because we don't turn and run. We just know forward at all times. So, Father, I thank You that the tenacity of this church here at Journey Church in Eva, Alabama, of all places, God, would rise up and make a world difference. Come on now, a world's difference. Not to make us famous, but to make Jesus famous. So, Lord, I ask You to begin to open those doors right now of influence around every person in here. Open those doors of words of wisdom to pour out of their mouths. Open them to have the courage to make the changes in their lifestyle, Father, that takes them to the next step and the next level of where you're wanting them to go, their family, their community, God, and what they're involved in school and sports and on jobs and in town, Father God, and civic organizations, wherever they're at, God. And let there be no compromise. As Christians, we can love without hating. We can be truthful without hate. But we will be bold and we will not back down. So, Father, I thank you that Jesus didn't back down all the way to the cross. And it's because of that today I'm able to stand here and deliver this message without fear. And I thank you in the name of Jesus. If that's you, say in the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on, give him praise. Amen.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.